The scripture says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling. There are two distinct things that you will easily see from this scripture as we start. One is that the scripture said that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched. One, with the feeling. Two, see, before God was revealed in a manifest dimension in the person of Jesus Christ, it was not possible for men to understand that God feels. The only thing that they know about God is all about the intangibles. You have to talk about God mostly in a metaphysical dimension. There is no relatable way that we can talk about the one that is our God. But when God was revealed in the person of Jesus, he was revealed in such a way that he became a personality that can be touched. Amen. If you are sitting at the back, come and fill up the fast. Fill up here, fill up here. Please be fast, I'm waiting for you. Have not a high priest that which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I want you to mark three words. Number one is touched. Number two is feeling. Number three is infirmities. Infirmities. One of these days we'll do a teaching on the anatomy of infirmities. I don't know how God did it, but God created man to be dependent. That frame became very, very obvious when we now fell. It wasn't too obvious when man hadn't fallen. But when man fell, it became obvious that we are dependent. There is nothing you can do. And as the day is going by, man is trying to find many means possible to see if he can succor the infirmities that came out of his mold. Such he should be dependent. But the spirit upon which man is supposed to lean on, the scripture told us in the book of Genesis chapter 6 that God said that my spirit can't strive with man because he's flesh. And from that time, man began to know in an evident dimension that he's actually a dependent being. It wasn't too obvious. You see, and as the day is going by, our infirmities are being made manifest from one layer to another, from one layer to another, from one layer to another, until we get to the book of Romans. And Paul said that the good things I want to do, I can't do it. The bad things I don't want to do, I see myself doing it. He said, oh wretched man that I am. It took him an experience into deep things for him to recognize that at his best, he still falls short. So, the best of us is men that wake up daily and 90% of our engagement is to depend on the mighty Holy Spirit, so that somehow He will zap away our weaknesses. That is the only way we can make progress. So it became paramount that Jesus, as I told you people, Jesus is your savior, but you need to know also that He is a pattern man. That means He became something so that you can become that. It is not possible for us to become anything that Jesus has not become. Maybe I should touch it. The things that God expects you to become can only be possible because Jesus became it. As a matter of fact, when the Lord became that spirit, what happened is that all that Jesus became was now transferred into His reality. So when a man seeks God, what the Holy Spirit does is to go and draw from the resources of what Jesus is and then ministers it to you. Are you with me? So when you seek God long enough, what you will notice is that you become what Jesus was. It's an exchange. The Holy Ghost just draws from Him and ministers to you. So, but for that to be possible, the scripture said that we have a high priest, and this our high priest is such that he is touched, one, with the feeling. I was talking with somebody long time ago. He said that God doesn't have feeling. Is it true that God doesn't have feeling? Now, what is true is that God is not emotional, but God has feeling. You know what it means to be emotional? Like, as a lady now, you can continue crying. Any small thing, you can be shedding tears. Even there are ladies that are good in crocodile tears and all that. But God has feeling. And what it means to feel is to experience exactly what it is that you are passing through. Somebody can be emotional without experience. I hope you know. So you can just injure your leg like this, and a lady will see it and start crying. Meanwhile, she is not touched with the feeling of your infirmity. That is not God. So, for God to actually, it's not as if He does not have the capacity before them, but you need to know that He is a just God. What we mean by just is that I'm trying to lay a foundation, because there is the next scripture, the next verse is where I'm going. If this guy now, God wants to give you, what do you want God to give you now? He doesn't know. If God wants to give this guy dealing now, let me use 10 million because that's your language. So let God wants to give you 10 million. Actually, what he will say is that I want to give somebody 10 million, just as we are teaching, but specifically, he wants it to be you. What it does is that he will put you through a process that will make you to merit it. Are you seeing it? I'm going to teach you the connection between grace and mercy. Because the scripture called it the throne of grace. So what God will do is that if the quota to make you qualified is 20 minutes, for him to be just, he can't just give you that without you measuring up to the quota. What he will do for you is to launch you into depths of grace that will bring you to not just 20, 30, so that everybody that looks at you, when you have laid hold on that, we know that it is not just that you deserve it, you are overqualified. It's just a matter of time. Are you with me now? Meanwhile, what he did is just to give you grace, because for him to give you that without you being qualified is to make him unjust. And God can never In fact, to prove his justice, he said, for God so loved the world that what happened? No, I thought he will just come and say, nobody has sinned. All your sin, for, no. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God couldn't have just come and say, I forgive you. There must be a basis, a legal basis for that kind of transaction. And it was such that is a life for a life. And God looked around. Even if OJB say, I want to die. No, you are not accepted. Because the fall fractured you. Such that you can't even redeem yourself. Even if you say, I want to die. That was why the book of Romans, talking about love, saying that there are people that can give themselves to be born, yet they don't have love. Initially, many years ago, when I read that scripture, I didn't understand it. Do you know God can tell you to forgive somebody now, and you prefer to fast for 7 days than to forgive that person? Has it happened to you before? In fact, there are people, God will say, forgive. Some of your mothers do it. Instead of them to forgive, they will be praying all night, doing fasting, doing all kinds of things. Simple thing, God said, go and ask your husband for forgiveness. They will refuse and do many things. Now, that kind of person is what the book of 1 Corinthians is talking about. He said that these people can give their body to be born, yet they don't have love. In fact, there are certain cases God will tell you to, you know, forgive and do. You will prefer to die literally than to forgive. So that person is, in that case, you understand that life is not so much worth because of the fact that you died. It is what is transacted in the death that is important. So back to what I'm saying, if Jesus must be able to be touched by the feeling of your infirmity, he has to become humanity. It is in his humanity that he was able to be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. First of all, he is touched. So if he is touched, then he must have flesh. Remember the testimony of Jesus when he rose from the dead. You know, they were saying when he appeared, they said his spirit and all that. He said, come, touch me. And they touched him. He said, you have seen that a spirit do not have what? What? Huh? Flesh and what? Yes. So a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. My emphasis here now is flesh. So you need flesh to be touched. You need flesh to feel in our dimension. So we don't know, especially for us. If he didn't become humanity, we can say God understand what it means for hunger and all that. But until he came to the pool as Sychar, the scripture said he was tired. You know, when they write the scripture, especially about Samson, about Jesus, one of the things that they describe for us is one man that can die, one man that can be tired, one man. In my own opinion, Samson is a small statured man. It's possible Samson is like you. Yes, because the way you are praying is might in the spirit, because what Samson is functioning with is the spirit of might. And I've noticed more often than not, the people that have spirit of might in their walk with God, they don't look like it physically. Most times God takes it and puts on men that look weak and frail. When the team mantles them, they will become lion as a proof. So he became human so that he can be touched. So when you say I'm hungry, he understands he was hungry. When you say I'm weak, I'm tired. In fact, the scripture went down and said that he was tempted in all ways. So when you say you are tempted, even Jesus was tempted. I used to think Jesus wasn't tempted. There is a way I used to see him. I used to think he just coasted through life, nothing. My brother, it's possible damsels tested him. Hunger tested him. All kinds of things. But the scripture said he was without sin. How would he have been able to understand that somebody is suffering one kind thing? You know, there are some kinds of things you'll be suffering, you can't even tell somebody. There are some brothers you will tell, the way they greet you will change. Because you have opened up your infirmity to them. But Jesus was touched in all ways. He understands it. When a man said, I can't pray in the night, Jesus understands. When a man says that if I'm praying small, it is hard for me to ascend, Jesus understands. That's why he goes to the mountain. Part of the reason he climbs the mountain is so he can shout. He understands. He understands what it means that you will be in a boat just to rest. Satan will allow you to rest. You finish crusade and miracles, all kinds of things happen, only for you to go and rest. Satan will come to the same boat and want to push you inside it. He understands. He understands. He understands what it means that you will be given an assignment that seems as if it's bigger than you. You know, many times people come and think that Jesus had it easy. The reassignment was going to the cross. And when the time came, he said, take it away. So, Jesus understands that you had a calling that seems as if it's bigger than you. Anytime you wake up and remember it, you cry again. He understands. Because he said, is it possible? They turn their face. He understands. He understands. Why? Because he is touched with the feeling. He is touched with the feeling. He is touched with the feeling. Not just infirmity, everything. But in this context for us, infirmity. Because the major work of the Holy Spirit in his administration inside of us is fundamentally to take care of our infirmities. You are riddled with infirmity. I mean, everywhere infirmity. Can you fast for 40 days? Even if there are people here that can't fast for 3 days straight, even if their life depends on it. Even if their life depends on it. Yes. So when a man begins to journey on that path, and you will now see that the things that men can't do in the flesh, a man begins to do it. Begins to do it. Begins to do it. In the flesh, you are infirm, you are incapable. But in the spirit, you are strong. It is a proof that both you understand your infirmity and Jesus understands your infirmity. And there is a convergence. The convergence is at the throne. Give me verse 16. The convergence. Once this understanding hits your heart, you will converge at the throne. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find what? Have you ever wondered why mercy and grace is mentioned together here? I think I've already taught you. This is the connection. Have you woke up one day and something happened and you didn't plan, you didn't even pray, you didn't, and you said, Kai, it's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. Anytime you hear mercy, don't be too moved. I've seen people teach mercy as being careless. That God can give you anything. You don't need. That is the day you don't do anything and you don't need to do anything. That's mercy. And God will be changing his standards. That's mercy. God doesn't change his standard. As a matter of fact, God's mercy is an administration from his justice system. And his justice system, that throne, it has two offices. One, One, mercy comes for me. The other one, judgment comes on me. It has to be like that for him to be just. As a matter of fact, should I even tell you, sometimes when God is showing you mercy, he is judging another thing or another person. In the judgment of sin and Satan, mercy was shown to man. If God didn't judge sin and Satan, then it is not true that God showed us mercy. So most times, when mercy comes, it's a proof that judgment came on another person or another thing. The two works hand in hand. See, when God was teaching me about the technology of revival, you need to, men that don't understand this thing, they don't know how to bring revival. Because they will think it's just somebody falling under power. They won't know that revival is intense business in heavenly places. When you are, men that bring revival are men that know how to do business in heavenly places. Because you will contend with principalities. As a watcher, as a gatekeeper, as a prince, if your horn continue to increase, you can go up and judge the prince over your family. It's judgment. Without you judging that prince over your family, the showers of God's mercy can't come down. So you see, they walk hand in hand. So that's why when revival moved, there is songs that came out, hymns. There shall be showers of blessing sent from the Savior above. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Now this is the key. Now this is what I want to teach for. Mercy drops round us are falling. Accepted. We know that mercy drops are falling around us. But in answer, but for the showers we plead. So we are seeing, you know, when somebody say he is hungry for water and he say, come, now drops more on your mouth. That one is what we see around and call it revival is just mercy drops. But what brings revival is showers. Something that soaks the territory. It is such that even the creature itself cannot survive the impact of what is coming from Zion. The reason why such a thing can happen is because its oppression is coming from heavenly places. It is such that it has the capacity to superimpose its influence to anything and anybody. People don't need to come to revival hall. If we limit ourselves to people that are gathered here, as much as we are increasing, that's not my target. Revival, real revival is territorial in scope. You climb high, continue to climb, continue to climb. You climb high enough and you thunder with your voice, then the territory will become calm. You are a prince. So anything you have, the reason why we need to climb, anything you have, if you release it from that point, it can touch more people. That is why before Jesus gave gifts, the scripture said he ascended. So this is what the scripture is saying, that there is a throne of grace. For a man to understand mercy well, he has to understand this throne of grace. Because this is what happened. The day God showed you mercy, there is an investment of grace that was at work somewhere. That is how God was about to able to bring that mercy to pass. Just because you didn't pray that day didn't mean he did not wake up somebody in revival hope to pray for you. A price must be paid somewhere. And the price in new covenant is the price of grace. It is the price of grace you pay to receive as much mercy as possible. So what God does is that he will look at the seasons to come and see that you lack the wisdom. As much as you are being told you are making mistake, as much many you are talking, he knows that it's only mercy that can make you to survive this season. He will give you grace in one aspect of your life to measure up in the spirit. So when a man tarries 1 hour, 2, 3, 4, he will know that is the administration of mercy that he is laying hold on. In the seasons to come, it will become true that the reason why mercy was abundant in your life is that there were days that grace powered you
into places that you couldn't have.
Meanwhile, to expect God to do something without you being brought to the place where the quotas that it takes for mercy to be dropped like showers from heaven. There are quotas.
There are quotas. Instead of it not to be met, God will go and meet intercessors. So much so that he can wake them up by 12
and say, pray, there is danger on this young man's life. You wake up and say, I didn't do anything today. Even today that I wanted to have accident, I didn't even pray in the morning. I just said, Jesus. You are not wise. You are not intelligent in the things of the spirit. And Satan knows you are not intelligent. So one day, the intercessor might not wake up. And then you will pay for your foolishness. I'm teaching you the ways of the spirit. This one. Sometimes when men come under, reduce a little. Sometimes when men come under our covering, one of the things that happens to them is that they function under things that they can't even explain. They don't understand that it's grace that is powering those things. Then they will begin to feel ease in their life. Mistakes we reduce, carelessness we reduce, indiscipline we reduce. The progress that you were able to make in 6 months is astronomical. Meanwhile, you have been trying to gain entrance into 10% of that for the last 5 years. You were not able to do it. You see, so when God decided to show you mercy, what he did is not just to say, I show you mercy. No, he brought you here to begin to pray. Kai. Pray. So when we appear and people say, Kai, you are lucky. Am I lucky? I don't believe in luck. It's nothing like that. Maybe you are favored. I'm saying you can predict the future. You can predict the future not by seeing, but by what you are doing. Your knees can kneel long enough that you will know you can fail. I know how I will end. I will not end a weak man. My eyes will be strong. God has shown me. If you can pay the price, you can end strong. You can finish strong. That's how the patriarchs ended. They didn't end on the lap of Delilah. No. Their eyes were not dim. Some of them were old, yet by faith they prophesied about many generations to come. Such are the lives of men that were correct. Why don't we have this kind of men? And that is the reason why tokens are lost. Legacies are lost. We cannot transmit things accurately from one generation to another. After a generation of giants, what we have is a generation of weaklings, men that are too dependent on what the former generation did that they were not able to dig their own well. The ancient paths were covered. Nobody is able to trace them. We need pathfinders again. Maybe next year there is a decision I might make, and I need to tell you that if you begin to seek God seriously, I need to tell you that there are faint areas of your life that Satan will go and wait for you. One of them is making strategic decisions around your destiny. Sometimes Satan will convince you that you will have a second chance. There is no second chance in the kingdom. You can have as many chances as possible. You can even have 100. Are you getting the point? The challenge is this. If you leave now and probably realize this 5 years later that you shouldn't have left, and then you don't come back 5 years later, do you think the setting will be like this? More things will be happening in the natural, but you won't have the days of cooking of the first generation and second generation has passed. Yes. That's why, whether you like it or not, there is no set that you can compare with the apostles of the Lamb. The scripture calls them eyewitnesses. They are not the same thing with the rest. They saw Jesus weak. They saw him tired. Men like John, we say, what our eyes have seen, our hands. Men like Peter, we say, we saw his glorious majesty on the mountain. Even though we extol the more sure word of prophecy, but we saw him shine. That is the authority of their ministry. We have apostles from then till now, but there are only 12 of the lamp, and they were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. So you can come back many, many things, but what Satan does is that if he can't use power against you, he will see if he can come to junctions and try to see if you can make a wrong choice, a wrong decision. I'm telling you now, there is a junction I entered in my life, and all the people I trusted, there are trusted people around my life that, you know, they can give me counsel and all that. Even they were afraid of giving me counsel, because at that time counsel has consequences and implications. Because if they counsel me and the thing didn't turn out, I will turn to them and say, Shebi, yes, no. This one, what the best of them did is, he showed me the path and allowed me to make the choice. The other one told me to choose this. The other one told me to choose this. This one didn't tell me to choose anything. He just showed me. It was then I found out that my 1 year prayer was just to make one correct decision. 1 year prayer is to bring mercy enough for me to make correct decision in the critical season of my life. We won't be here if I didn't make that decision. Such is what happens to many people. As a matter of fact, Satan will set you up, self. He will set you up so much that if you have not accumulated grace in your bank, it will not draw down the mercy it takes, because you can be confused. You can even be foolish self. Sometimes some people had mercy much in their life that they have been on the wrong path. When it matters the most, they will now make the correct decision. There are people that there is no much mercy on their bank. They have been making the correct choices, doing everything well. They are good people. They go to church, they do everything. When it matters, they just one wrong, one small mistake, and then all the years of labor was shattered. Mercy have departed. There is anything you will lay hold on, is mercy. Indeed, by strength is powerful, but by our strength no man shall prevail. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God have to bring us again to the place where we need to cry out afresh. I found out that the reason why God releases grace for us is for us to have the energy it takes to interact with the showers of his mercy. The seasons will come and men will make mistakes. It will seem as if God didn't touch their life. It all started with one small divergence. As I'm talking to you people now, there are people that will sit under my voice and still turn out wrong. That kind of person has not received mercy. I'm not saying dear me, I'm sure it will. It's a pattern. Jesus said, am I not the one that called the 12 of you? That one of you is a thief. It's a pattern. Do you know who Jesus is? As a pastor, he said, Jesus didn't have 100% result in his church. Why would I expect to have 100% result? bow down your head and ask God to shower your life with mercy. You have 2 minutes. If you like, don't pray. But if you want to be correct, you will pour out your heart in 2 minutes. Pour out your heart. May your labors not be wasted. Your nights of prayer, your fastings. When it becomes critical in your life, Satan will manipulate the outcome of your destiny because there is not much mercy. You won't have men to help you, and you made the wrong choices. You don't have men to guide you. It's a proof that mercy is not on your life. You labor, your labor wasted. Pray for mercy, my friend. Obtain. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, let's continue from where we stopped yesterday. Philippians chapter 3. Move over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either we are already perfect. Anytime you hear the word perfect, the scripture is making an attempt to tell you about maturity. See, we had a teaching series that we called Spirit Cities and Civilizations, and one of the cities we identified, even though we didn't have the time to dig deep into it, was Nineveh. The scripture said in the book of is it not Jonah? Chapter 4, right? The last verse there. It said that everyone that is in Nineveh was a babe. So there is a certain kind of city that the intent, the purpose of the city, even though you are already a believer, the purpose of the city is to keep you perpetually a babe. And remember, the scripture said in the book of Matthew that there was a cry that was heard in Ramah. Rachel wept for her children. What was the challenge? The days that thrones were fighting, even believers chose to be babes and they became victims. And I need to tell you that day will come again. As a matter of fact, there is no day that can be like it, like the one we have entered. There is no day that demands maturity like the days that we have entered. It's a game of men of stature, men of rank, men of maturity. If you are a babe, you will be carried with the winds, intense winds that is coming. So you need to be grounded. You need to be rooted. So there are certain cities that Satan set over our churches everywhere. So the way we measure that you are doing well is how your life is turning out in the natural. So if you have more money, you can use scripture and quote. You are quoting scripture about money. I mean, scripture that is talking about growth in the spirit. All you are interested is money. I saw a young man that quoted a scripture that is talking about deep things of the kingdom, and what he posted was money. that kind of environment keeps you a baby. Meanwhile, you will think you are growing until something happens. You will now see you are weak inside. Your response at that day will show that you have fear. You don't have courage. You have not touched things deep enough to bring convictions. Convictions that can keep you. The days won't become, it won't become less stressful. It will become tougher. Only men that have traveled into the heart of God and see what keeps God confident. When God speaks, he said, I know the word I sent, it will not come back without fulfilling its purpose. What kind of being is that? That when he speaks, he knows that there is no tempest, there is no season, time. No matter what happens, his word will come back with actualization. What kind of being is that? And it was the scripture that testified. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. It is a spirit. Okay, back to what I'm saying. So, the game of the last day is the game of maturity. And this word perfect is speaking about maturity. So, how many of you have attended any crusade that was organized by Reinhard Bonnke? You attended? Did you attend? Where? Which one? Huh? Abba? That's when? Have you attended any of his crusades? Which one? How old were you now? Kamola. Did you attend? His crusade doesn't mind in where you are coming. Have you attended? Which one? Where? Okay, that last one. Is it the one of yesterday? You didn't see the man on his headies now. He's already tired. He came to this town 2003. Were you there? It's a lie. I sang in the crusade choir. Where we did our choir practice was, there is a four square church that is behind Zenith Bank. Let me leave the story. I attended the fire conference. It's not today we started, though it has been long. So the target, the reason why I'm telling you this is, there is a booklet he used to give us. If you attend fire conference, he will give you evangelism by fire. If you attend the crusade, they will give you now that you are saved. So I want to ask you, touch your neighbor, ask your neighbor, now that you are saved, what next? What did he answer? Find out. I need to take sample. Ten samples. Find out from him. What was your own answer? He didn't answer. Find out from him. I'm coming for you. You people are sitting in church. They don't know what next. Rabbi, find out from him. What was his answer? No. We need to get sample. Something is telling me people will mess up. Bring mine for me. Bring mine. So that their generation will hear them. Start from the people there. Give Collins. What did he say? Give William. Let's find out. No, answer now. What did he answer you?
He told me to follow God.
Come on. Come and give your calf. No, don't give him. I think they might answer the thing there. Where are we going to go now? Alemwa, where are you? Where is Chibeze? I thought I saw him now. Okay, go and give him. Let's find out. He's in the spirit, we see nothing. Let's find out. What did the person tell you? Now that you are saved, fly away. You know, that those days they sang the song, when you are born again, you say after me, you fly away. If it is to fly away, that means as soon as you are born again, God will kill you.
Yes, now.
If there is a possibility of you missing heaven or messing up or even not fulfilling God's agenda and all that, that the most important thing is for you to go to heaven, then if you are born again, he will kill you, boom, so that you will get more people. Are you seeing the common sense there? But there is something bigger. The earth is the training field. As a matter of fact, the development that your soul gains on this realm, that development will still be trapped in eternity. Are you with me? There are certain dimensions of yourself that is eternal in scope. So, those dimensions will still be trapped in the other realm. If you are a babe here, you will be a babe there. And remember, the coming age is the age of the kingdom. And once you hear the word kingdom, the next thing that comes to your mind is government. Say after me, government. Do you give a child government? So the scripture said in the book of Galatians, it said, even though he is an heir, but he will be under tutelage, governors, until the day the father decides that he is now matured. So you can go to Bible school after 5 years and say, I'm matured. No. Who decides when you are matured? Say the father. Meanwhile, somebody can stay 3 years and is matured. After all, it was 3 years that it took Jesus to make out apostles. I found out it doesn't take time. The thing is that, are these men willing to pass through the process? Because when the 12 follow Jesus, if he's crossing the sea, they are following him, sleep everywhere throughout their life. They left their profession and followed for 3 years. And after that time, they became another man. Peter was a fisher of fishes and he became a fisher of men. Now that you are saved, what next? Go and give sister peace. Now that she is saved, what next? She doesn't want to answer. My God. Give Sister Doris, now that she is saved, what next? You don't know who is Sister Doris, you are in trouble. Come and give Texan, now that he is saved. Is a burden. You are laughing, but it's a burden. Now that you are saved, what next?
I will continue to follow Jesus.
That's a vague answer. Okay, let me help you and make it tough for you. Why will you continue following Jesus?
So that I will wash.
You don't they do expo now? Collect our mic. Find Catherine Kuhlman and give her the mic. Now that she is saved, what next? Be fast now, let's find out. Now that you are saved, what next? Is a burden. Seasons will come, people will tell you, why are you praying like this? As a matter of fact, there is a way you follow God to an extent. You become successful as a man, as a human being. Money will come, husband will come, job will come, many things will come. You look around yourself, your song will change. Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham, blessed. Meanwhile, the people singing the song, they don't know what is Abraham's blessing. Hey, Rabbi, what is Abraham's blessing now? See, what did God promise Abraham that in this covenant, that at the end you are going to see it? It is nothing natural, nothing natural. So at the end of the promise, what we saw is that the Holy Spirit was received by men by faith. Because the Holy Spirit is the earnest of inheritance of eternal matters. Actually, God blessed Abraham in two dimensions. But the only way to lay hold on the blessings that is eternal is by the investment of the Spirit. So the Spirit granted us access to those matters. So it is not possible for us to lay hold on that thing that is God's and eternal until the Holy Spirit comes. Whithersoever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is access. So once the Holy Spirit comes, a man can have as much as he wants to. I'm trying to help you so that I'm trying to just juggle your mind and shift you so that you see there is much labor. There is much labor. There is much labor to meet up to God's demand in your life. If somebody do something small now, the next thing that will happen is that they will probably say, if you are the one now, you probably do something good, one or two things, and they will probably make you a pastor. The reason is that they don't know where we are going. So the reward for men for making progress is to give you portfolios. Meanwhile, inside there is a standard that is set. And there are things that are spiritual that God is doing. Not as though I had already attained either, we are already perfect. And remember, when Paul was writing this, this is at the end of his ministry. Chronologically, they said that this is 33 years after. How many years? That's when he was making some of these things. One of them, you know, the one he said, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Another, he said, not as though I had already attained. So why would Paul, that gave us all these things, say, not that I have already attained? I will show you a mystery. I will show you the reason why you can't afford to look at your neighbor. I will show you why you need to visit these scrolls often. I will show you why you cannot make accurate assessment using natural matters. There is nothing on this earth that can help you to be correct in this kind of matter. For Paul to make this statement, he visited somewhere. And when he came out, even him, he knew. Have you heard of the spirits of just men made perfect? Actually, the real reason why man came, we have not yet seen it. The fall so truncated it that God has been searching to bring men to the original template where they will be able to accomplish the same purposes. No matter what God used you to do in this small time frame that you are upon the face of the earth, it is just a rehearsal, a test run, a trial version. The real version is coming. And guess what? Men like S.G. Elton, he said that when I come back in the millennium, he said I will be the mayor of Elisha. There is something they saw. It's only you that have not seen anything. Yeah, it is in the Bible, but men have walked into their destiny so much that they know that their name is in that book. People like Paul will say, blot my name out of the book. God can't answer that kind of prayer. You can't pray it. As you are now, you can't pray it. Because a fair damsel can take you away. Try, pray it. Now try. But Paul will say, for my blood, mine. Moses will come and pray the same prayer. God won't answer it. Because what we are doing is not here. And this man has been formed into something eternal so much that God's construction that is in the spirit and his project that transverses time into eternity cannot find fulfillment until we find men in their mode, men in their rank, men in their stature, men in their nature, men that have developed a culture and a mindset. There is a scripture I will show you that there are two dimensions of culture and mindset that a man have to develop to approximate to God's demand. And the scripture calls it the day dawn and the day star. If time permits us, we will get to that place. Are you with me? When you walk with God, as I taught you people, one of the impact of the fall is that he brought disorderliness into the universe. Huh? And God is not obsessed with love. He is obsessed with order. Because once you experience a disorder, a small disorder, the effect in the kingdom is like a domino. You know what's a domino? All you need to do is to tip the first. Then the rest in 1,000, 2,000 years to come is still feeling the impact of what happened at Eden. Meanwhile, the man at Eden, he didn't realize the much impact of what he's doing. He didn't realize it. It took a man from eternity to understand that the things in time have impact in eternity. So when God conscripts you and brings you, you must have an eternity mindset. The impact of eternity mindset is not eternity mindset. You know, they taught us that the eternity mindset is saying you want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. That is not necessarily eternity mindset. Eternity mindset is entering into God's heart and understanding about his projects and assignments, and seeing the part you are supposed to play in time to bring it to accomplishment. So this is what God does. He test runs in time and translates to eternity. That is why the scripture is saying in the book of Ephesians that whatsoever God makes out of the church, it will become the organ of his government from time to eternity. The scripture actually said in ages. We don't know how many ages, but however ages that is coming, man is God's eternal plan. Man is God's eternal channel. Man is God's eternal instrument. And it so happens that he conscripts men according to their level of maturity. So God seems as if there are ranks. As I taught you people that there is what we call the setting of sons. Have you heard the word adoption? Adoption is the setting of sons. What you have is the superstructure of God's agenda and ranks and in that superstructure that men can enter into as a result of the stature that they have developed. What we have is ranks in God's superstructure, and what those ranks are meant for sons, and sons get placed in their ranks according to stature, and stature is dependent on conformity to the image of the Christ. So that is why the project just started when you got born again. Actually, there is no possibility of approximating into God's agenda without a man experiencing the redemptive power of God. It is from there that God begins to build what he intended to build originally. First, to build you, and then to build you into his work. He builds you and then builds you into his work. So a man that have not been builded cannot be built into God's work. Because the template that he gave Solomon, he said that this temple will be built with stones made ready. That when they appeared in the temple, there was no hammer, there was no chisel. When we cross over to the other side, you will hear all this dealing thing, all this persecution trial is over. The scripture said the morning, the heaven and earth will pass, and all those things. There won't be chisel. There won't be hammer. Men become what they have been molded into. What will happen is that according to the mold and frame that your soul has attained, you will be placed as a son.
Where do you want to be placed in the eternity of God? You can decide now. In this context, time is a gift that men have, a window into eternity where they can lay hold on rank and stature. They will appear that place and they will tell you that the foundations of the city was built with the names of the apostles. When you appear in the city of God and you don't see certain names, then you will know you appeared in the wrong place, because these men have gained the stature in God. They have realized that time is a precious gift. They wake up in the morning and press, because they know that the place, the opening, the stature that it takes for them to enter into the rank that God has ordained in the temple, in his structure, is waiting. He's waiting for a certain kind of man. So when God calls you up like John, he said, come up, Peter. It's not just about him, it's just that information, the reality that he wants you to interact with, dwells at a higher energy level. It's not by wish. You can't wish it. You have to press. The Bible says, since the day of John the Baptist, he said that the kingdom is preached and wise men press into it. Yes. The reality of pressing was not possible until the revelation of the kingdom. When Jesus appeared, he said, the kingdom of God is come to you. The testimony there was not just about a physical kingdom appearing. He was trying to tell them that as of now, a man can become anything in God that he desires. What do you want to be? Men like I'm a sample McPherson, we appear and say, she's the spiritual mayor of Los Angeles. As long as she's there, nothing will happen in her gate. See here, time and earth is a testing ground. Men that didn't have the stature, you told them to just appear before God, you will be filled with shame. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment seat of reward and placement. This is not the end, this is the beginning. When men die on earth, it's not the end, it's the beginning. When men sleep, it's not the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the journey. And how their journey will be into eternity is dependent on the investment that has been made in time. Time is a capital. Time is a capital to invest into eternity. Yes. The power and the impact of time in eternity is dependent on what men made out of it. You see, we say, come and say, from the time of Enoch to the time of this person is 300 years, and they married and gave birth and died. The reason why it is recorded that way and it is fleeting is because men didn't make investment. Time can become long and far when the investment in it is much. Then they can summarize a man's 900 years in two verses. But to summarize Abraham's one night encounter took three chapters. One night encounter took three chapters, because the imprint of his encounter is transgenerational. Even in this our age, we make reference to what a man encountered. In the years to come, it will become a template of God's functionality. See, God is obsessed with order. So the reason why God seeks sons is because the fundamental construction of sons is such that they are people and beings of order. Any man or any being that is out of order is not a son. The first proof of sonship is that you are aligned in order. That is your proof. It's not power first, it's order. Yes. Because the kingdom of God is supposed to be functioning spontaneously, unanimously, flawlessly, every man knowing his place. The scripture said that none of them broke their rank. That means every man knew where they were placed. Do you know why judgment came upon the angels in that fell? The scripture said that they left what? Their first estate. They left the places that God placed them in. And when God looked, he couldn't see them. They have left their rank. And they are contesting for things and left their seat vacant. And the implication of disorderliness is that many generations to come will suffer for your mistakes. Meanwhile, you didn't see the impact initially. You just thought it's something small, something small. Generations weep and they still weep because of men that entered into disorderliness. They thought sinning is about sinning. No. When God looks at sinning from eternal perspective, What he sees it as is disorderliness. He's looking at a generation that will never enter into their ordination because a pioneer and a patriarch in that order disaligned himself, and all his generation that should suck from his breast and be fed, we are left dry because a man disaligned himself. But don't be that foolish. The reason why I'm preaching this message, teaching this thing, is that you enter into deeper consecrations with God and understand that even though you are in time and God's dealing is in time, that the scope and impact is eternal. And you have to see that way. Until you see that way, you will be able to understand and make minimal the small. The Bible says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not such a thing that can be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the man that is speaking like this is seeing from an eternal perspective. It is when you look from there, you will now see the challenges that is here now and see that is even a gift that I have challenges. Yes, there are seasons in your life that you will pass through. When you now come back in retrospect, you will now begin to thank God that you passed through it. Why didn't you know when you were passing through it? You are still a man of time, because men of eternity, they see the full impact of what God is doing and they die there. When they emerge from that place, they will be called sons, because orderliness will be factored into their soul. When they appear in the other realm, they will be ranking men, ranking. Yeah, you might end up in heaven, but you know, I hope you have read the scripture about the poor man and Lazarus. My point there is that have you read the scripture? The rich man and Lazarus. Do you know, even when the rich man Lazarus came to Abraham's bosom, the rich man is in hell, but he's still sending him errand. So the life they lived on earth still has implications over there. Over there, the rich man is in hell and he's seeing you in Abraham's bosom as still a servant. Yeah. Send him to bring water for me. I said they will be sending some men errand. Guess what? You appear there and say, and it's not about how, it's not the volume of the assignment. Is faithfulness. If God told you, Oya, take this thing and keep it, and you did it so well and so long, the whole of heaven will depend on you. See, I can't overemphasize the impact of continuity and consistency. It brings a man, it brings a group of people to the point that heaven can trust them. What can heaven trust you with? If you have not been proved in the place of consistency, there are many things heaven can't trust you with. You can just wake up one day and say you are not doing. Yes, now you, I know. You can wake up one day and say I'm tired. You can wake up one day and say I don't feel like praying. We can't trust you now. Let's wait for you. Maybe 3 years or 5 years. Let's know how much your conviction can carry you. That's why you come to Query Site. You come here and many stones are broken and molded. You'll be carried, ferried into hot furnace. The intent of the furnace, we increase the tempo and temperature, the pressure. The purpose is to crack some things. Because there are certain things we can't build until some stones are cracked. Then God can build. He will break you then before he will now begin to mold. And have you gone to the potter's house? For 7 years of my life, I visited the potter's house. It was there I learned a lesson. In the potter's house, I found out that the potter can break you as many times as he desires. As long as the intended vessel has not been seen, he is the owner. So he has the capacity to break it. Because initially when I entered the potter's house, he broke me once. I said, glory to God, I'm a broken man now. God has broken me. All you guys that are not yet broken, you come minister. Until I found out that the potter said, I will break you again. Mold you, break you.
until he sees what he wants,
a masterpiece, an edifice.
Until he sees it, he won't stop. Guess what? The clay can't say, I'm now the master. No, you are in the potter. He is the potter, we are the clay. There is a masterpiece that we fix into his work in eternity. And if it takes him breaking you 7 times, he will do it. So some of the time you are crying, the more you are crying, have you been praying and you are crying and your cry is for God to shorten it? No. He's giving you grace to pass through it. There is no shortening of anything. Didn't you notice finally? Because you have been running away for almost 2 years. Is this year that you started facing? Had even you started 2 years ago, we would have made more progress. I'm sorry for, you know, but there is no way. You see now that you started, you are not feeling it as you thought. Do you know why? You didn't have understanding before. You are looking at it from man and time, and you excluded grace. Because when grace is at work, people will be seeing you and they will be pitying you. You'll be fasting 3 days, 7 days, and they will see and say, this boy, you will die. But inside of you, you are like a granite. Your face is set like a flint. That kind of mode you take, the only time you rest is when the purpose has been achieved. And the proof that the seasons will be easy, the seasons will be achieved, is not because it's easy, it's because there is grace. Even if God makes it easy for you, you can't still do it. So we don't say easy, we don't say hard. What we say is grace. In fact, the harder people like us look for the hardest assignment. I have found out many years ago that God told me that rank, the highest rank, waits for men that insist on doing the toughest assignment. Go into the heart of God and find out the things that everybody is running away from. Volunteer. And then rank will come. See, when we enter into eternity, all of us will be humble. Because what we see there will shock us. We find out that many of the big pastors, they just wasted time on earth. They never matured. They are babies. They were not formed into anything. There are many. Why will God be saying, I'm still looking for men? The men he's saying is not men in the natural. It's men that will fit in. It's sons that will be placed in his plans, in his edifice. And there are pastors, there are men, politicians, believers everywhere, yet there is an acute need of sons, men that have matured in the spirit. And guess what? Let me show you something. I don't know how much time I have. Okay, yeah, I have time. Not as though I had already attained, either we are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of what? Did you notice what is happening here? That before Christ apprehended him, there is a reason. So when he is apprehended of Christ, Christ set him on course to apprehend the reason why he is apprehended. This is what the scripture is saying. That God is not a God of afterthought. That is a God of design. Everything about him is design. So the scripture was speaking in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 6 or 9. He's saying that according as he has included us in his plans from the foundation of the earth. Are you getting the point? There is something he is doing before we came. And to continue and promote that agenda, he apprehended you. So when he now apprehended you, your job henceforth is to apprehend the reason why you are apprehended. The question now is, what is the reason why you are apprehended? That will be your pursuit, and your journey ends when you have apprehended that. Your investment of time, your investment of energy, your investment of resources will be geared towards that. Anything you achieved on earth that is not an achievement in this dimension, in this line, is a waste of effort. There is a reason why God apprehended you, and the reason is eternal. It is something that came on the foundation. It's foundational matters. So imagine if you now come and you are now doing many things, and you succeed in the natural. It's not bad to succeed in the natural. I'm not saying it's bad to succeed in the natural. After all, people like David, you know David, he succeeded in the natural. He was a mighty man. So I'm not, he's very fine. But as we are succeeding in the natural, it will just be something that is built upon the foundation of the spiritual apprehension. Are you with me? If your success in the natural is based on a spiritual apprehension, then it will last. You will not even be distracted. I'm telling you why many pastors miss it, many young men. I'm telling you why many young pastors, God has not given them money because he loves them. God has not given them anointing. God has not made them to blow. You heard of my friend that said he wants to blow because they have not seen this. God loves them. Imagine if you pastor a church of 1,000 people, have two jeeps, a wife, two kids, travel to London, everywhere. You preach, somebody fall under power. 5 or 6 people are healed. At least one cripple rises from wheelchair every week. People like Victor will resign. He will stop praying. Because that's why he is praying now. So that he will succeed in ministry. When you come to eternity, you will regret that you ever became a minister of the gospel. Because it's not about the pulpit. It's not about preaching. It's about apprehension. And apprehension is irrespective of standing on this pulpit. I will show you. Next verse. In fact, this pulpit is a distraction. It's confusion sometimes. You can be doing it and sometimes God will make you anointed not because of you but because of the people. He needs to help them. You now assume that anointing means you have matured, that you have read Bible, gone to Bible school, means that you have apprehended. You are fake. Guess what? Wise men don't base these things on the natural. You have to. God will help me to help you today to shift your mind to eternal things. I will give you cue and then you follow. And if you do that, you will know why I tell you that the greatest thing that God will give you is to give you hunger to pursue. How can this man be saying 33 years after ministry, seeing all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles? He said, that time I know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, if by any means I be made conformable unto your death. What is he talking about? He's saying that I saw my Lord and he was brought into certain depths. And those depths he was brought into was necessary so that he will be brought into the highest of the heights. And I looked and I saw that nobody in the natural saw the lifting. Meanwhile, something was happening. And it was not possible for him to sit on the throne that was the highest until he became that kind of man. The scripture said that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even so have God exalted him and giving him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, oh, that our generation will have men that have names, men that have given themselves to obedience long enough that they have names. Names are eternal. They don't stop in time. If you appear before the throne, they will still call Lucifer. They will still call him Lucifer, Satan, dragon, the old serpent. Just because 2,000 years passed doesn't mean his name has changed. We love your presence. We love your presence. What is your fragrance? What I say. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto things which are before. Verse 14. Now, if your Bible is your own, mark this. He said, I press. There are three words I would like you to underline. What are you saying? We love your presence. Oh, we love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? We love your presence. We love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? We love your presence. We love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? We love your presence. We love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? We love your presence. We love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? Oh my God. We love your presence. We love your precepts. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now? Now, there are three words. I feel a very strong presence around me. And once I feel that presence, I will know that God has sent his high-ranking angels. High-ranking. Of the order of the cherubs and seraphs. Listen. I press towards the mark for the price of the. Just pay attention in the next few minutes. This whole place will be turned upside down. I will not do anything. It seems as if the word has gained entrance into the heart of the people. And God is coming to bear witness to it. Now listen. I press towards the mark. Now number one, underline the word press. I press. Kai. Ask me my most favorite word in the Bible. Is this word press. Men like us have hope because of this word. If they were sharing it by how men can appear, why have me? I know that they have counted me out. When they were doing drama rehearsal in our first year in the university, they told me that I will act Satan. They said Satan. That's what they gave me. Do I look like Satan? They say it's Satan. Do you know why? All the guys, they came from Lagos, all these Enugu and all these places. Me, I'm a village boy now. So they said, Seta. I said, God, you are my only hope. Help me! One day I was listening to a message by Bishop David Oyedepo. He said that the kingdom of God is preached and men presses it. The thing fired like a burning arrow into my heart. Say, what? From that day, I lost every excuse I gave. I said, I will press and press. I will burn the wall. There is a fire inside me that disabled. I continue pressing. My disadvantages was declining as I was pressing. I continued pressing. I continued. These days, men look at you and see beauty. They didn't know when you started pressing. You become a force to reckon with because you refuse to stop. It is because of this word press that every man loses every excuse you can give in the kingdom. It's as long as it is the kingdom, every man have the permission to press. Listen, he said the price. There are three. Another word is okay. The second one is the mark. Underline it. The mark. The mark. The third one is the price. This kind is price P R I Z E, not price P R I S E C E rather. This one is like a reward. Huh? This is like a reward. So they are telling you that there is a mark that is set for you to receive your own reward. That's the simplest way I can define this. So the only time you stop is when you have hit your mark. So there is an expected mark for high boy. Your reward cannot come until you hit the mark. So imagine if you are measuring yourself with your neighbor. That's why the scripture says they that measure themselves with one another, they are not wise. We will have to travel to eternity and see the mark that was set for you. And then you labor. He said, I press towards the mark. All you need to do is to hit the mark. Then the prize will come. The prize is what is given to you as a reward of attainment, as a reward of something you have done, a prize. And the prize is clear. Whosoever is able to answer this question will get 1 million. So you don't need to say, stop begging. We don't beg in the kingdom. We don't beg. The mark has been set. And they say you can press. And grace is there. The scripture said, we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. But grace has been given to us so that we will align ourselves. So when a man appears in the kingdom, the grace to press has been released to you. And then you see where the mark has been set. And they told you that if you hit this mark, forget, the price comes consequent to you hitting the mark. So let's say you didn't hit the mark and you now appear and say and you want to manipulate God. No, see, this thing is not emotional. It is something that comes as a result of understanding. It should consume your soul. It should consume your soul. It consumed Jesus to the point he said, I will no more drink of this wine until we see in the kingdom. There are things that will take out food from your mouth, take out drink from your mouth, take out sleep from your mouth, from your eyes. There is something you have seen. Huh? That's what the apostles saw, and they were willing to die instead of them not to touch it. Why are you alive, Babatunde? See, this life is a mirage for the man that is not consistent in his interaction with reality. And that is why the apostles said, and they continued. Because even though signs and wonders happened, and the Holy Ghost was poured, thousands gave their life to Christ. They knew that that was not the end, it was the beginning. And they continued. Because there is a mark that is set for you, Jasper. The target is to hit the mark. You apprehend that for which Jesus apprehended you. Do you know why the monarch apprehended you? Don't look around your neighbor. Let your eyes open so that you will see the mark. What seest thou? Thank you.
continue, or will you stop? Men that have seen the mark, they continue steadfastly. They are not willing to stop at anything. Every challenge becomes a building block. Every persecution becomes an avenue, a window, a gate to enter into new possibilities. Oh my God, when Satan presents challenges, they take it off, but they know that there is one thing that is set for them. Until we hit the mark, until we apprehend, we will not stop. Oh my God, God's purposes that is seeking for expression through our lives, we will not stop until we come from. We will not stop until we are mold. We will not stop until we become that which is in the heart of God. Men of rank, men of stature, men of, oh my God. Oh.
How? Yeah. Until I become. Until I become. And they continued. And they continued.
Oh.
When you are here,